If you have your Bibles with you this morning, open them to the book of Genesis, and we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 11, which is just a few pages into the first book in just a moment. But last week, we started a new series here at Evangel, and it was a series that's going to run all the way through the month of March. It's going to take us through Easter and until the middle of April, and this series is called... I hear someone muttering it louder. It's called... This is my story. Thank you, Ben, and the others. It's called This Is My Story. Remember in the fall when I was sharing with you a little bit about different stories and the things that God has done in people's lives, and I promised you in the spring we were going to take some time and we were going to look into what God had done in people's lives in our congregation, what God had done in people's lives and outside of our congregation, and we were going to be encouraged by that. So this is that time. So this is the time to be encouraged. So I hope that you are. We looked last week at a parable. I don't know if I should dare to ask if you remember what parable from the New Testament we looked at last week. If you weren't here, you have a pass. Well, you could have listened to the podcast. Thank you. The parable of the sower. You've redeemed yourself, Brian. Thank you. Last week was the parable of the sowers, and I asked you last week, one of the points was why some and not others? Why is the message of faith and of God part of my story and not the story of others in my family? And I'm sure that you may have some of the same questions. And my point was this, when the Holy Spirit draws us, because it is the Holy Spirit that needs to draw us, we have a choice. That is why some and not others. And if the Holy Spirit is drawing you, you will know because the things of God will be present in your mind all the time. You will feel a drawing toward church and God and people who have faith. And it will involve your emotions, your passions, your desires. God will be speaking to all of these areas of your life. An individual shared with me just recently that when they come and they gather with Christians at Evangel, it makes their heart full. They are drawn toward that. It fills them up when they are here. That is the drawing of the Holy Spirit. Because as I pointed out to this individual, we can go to Sobeys and there's lots of people there, but it just doesn't fill our heart quite as glad just to be with all those people at Sobeys or the Superstore as it does when we come here. That's the drawing of the Spirit of God. And so remember last Sunday, I encouraged you, and this morning I encourage you again, if the Holy Spirit is drawing your heart, now is the time to move forward. Now is the time to make a decision for faith in Christ. We have people every Sunday morning at 9:30 in our foundations class who are taking steps forward in their faith. Some are just beginning. Some have already confessed faith in Christ and are growing in that faith. Just like one of our priorities this year, creating disciples that continue to grow. Some are doing that, and we're going to celebrate with them and their stories in April, just after Easter. And we're doing that class again in September, and we'll do it twice a year from now until the Lord returns. And we already have people interested in pursuing this journey in the fall. People already said, I want to do this. I want to journey together. I want to grow deeper with God, and I want to prepare to grow deeper in my commitments at Evangel Assembly, through possibly baptism and membership and ministry. But you don't have to wait until September to make a faith decision. You can incorporate Christ in your life at any moment. You can make him part of your story. And there's no better time than, well, last week was a good time, but this week as well. There's no better time. Because when we looked at the parable of the sower, we can be deceived. We can be deceived by the enemy of our lives telling us that actually we know what is best for us in all circumstances. Have you ever been there before thinking, well, no, I know how to handle this. I've got it. I don't need God or the church or a pastor to give me wisdom because I've got it. I know how to handle this. We can be deceived by the enemy telling us that we know what is best. We can be deceived by the enemy telling us that we can handle everything that comes our way on our own. We're good. We're tough. We're independent. Our culture tells us that. Individualism. I can do it. I am a self-made person, but we know in Christ we are made by Christ. We can be deceived by telling us that we don't need to embrace spirituality, that all there is what is flesh and bone. Or we can be deceived saying that if we do open ourselves up to God, it's just about following a series of rules and being slapped on the wrist when we don't. Those are the things that might prevent fledgling seeds of faith that the Spirit of God has dropped in your heart from germinating into full-fledged faith. But they don't have to, folks. They don't have to. Because we can recognize them as deception, and we can move forward and say, I don't understand everything, but I'm going to commit to journeying and having faith in Christ, and I'm going to trust and know that He will work all things for the good of those who love Him according to His purposes. And that's Scripture. And so this morning, we're going to hear some stories from a couple who are planting a church in Clare. Why would you plant a church in Clare? I'm going to ask them that this morning. And why would you come from outside of Clare to Clare to plant a church? You know, when I was answering the call and coming here to be your pastor in Yarmouth, nobody knew where I was going. I mean, I grew up here, but nobody knew where I was going. It's Yarmouth. It's, as my wife said, it's the wrong way when you leave Halifax. You go the other way, right? It's down further and away from everyone and everything. But you'll be happy to know that she has fallen in love with Yarmouth and Evangel. It just so happens she's in Halifax this weekend. It's March break. She's visiting some friends, family and friends. And so I told you, your Bibles, I actually lied about the chapter. It's chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 to 5. And last week, people lied about their age during birthdays, so it's okay. We can be liars saved by grace. Genesis 12, verses 1 to 5. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left, as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I just pray you would take your word, the words of Scripture that have been handed down to us this morning, and that you would help us to apply this to our hearts and to our lives, that your Holy Spirit would illuminate these Scriptures to our minds and our hearts this morning. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. This chapter 12 of Genesis is the call of Abram. It's the call to write a new story in his life. He was going along in one particular direction, and the Lord spoke to him and said, "I want you to change directions. I want you to do something different." And it started a brand new story, a brand new segment of his life. When I was 17 years old, I left Yarmouth for the first time to move to Halifax to attend university. I had been to Halifax maybe 3 or 4 times, but that was a long ways away when you were a child and lived down here in Yarmouth. You didn't go to the city very often. I mean, why would you? You have everything you need here, right? Exactly. That's what they told me when I was younger. And that was a huge transition for me when I left Yarmouth to go to university. I had been to teen camp once, not the Maritime District teen camp, just Camp Peniel, just like down the road. And I was so horribly homesick, couldn't wait for teen camp to get done so I could, you know, drive 10 minutes down the road and be back home. Yeah, it took me a while, a good, I would say, 4 to 6 months, maybe even a full year, to get settled into my new routines of life and my new patterns of life in Halifax. And I remember, as I think back on those times, leaving class at the end of the day was a particularly difficult time, because at the end of the day, I would leave school, I would go home, and I would have dinner with my family, and I would have the familiarity and the comforts at home, except I would leave class at the end of the day and walk back to a university residence, and I'd have dinner in a dining hall full of people. And I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm a shy person. It's true, folks. I tell you the honest to goodness truth. I am an introvert. I am a shy person. I need my time and I need my space alone, which I don't understand why the Lord gave me 4 children sometimes. But I need my time and I need my space. And I was living in a residence and I can't even describe to you how small my room was. The bathroom in the foyer, you know, you had a bed and a desk and I had a fridge, a little small one. And that was all, and I had to go in there and shut the door sometimes just to be away from people and things. And I would skip meals sometimes, not because I was spiritual and fasting, just because I needed to be away from people, and I had no food in my room. And so it is difficult when you move, when you make those first steps, when God speaks to you and challenges you to do something that you've never done before, to move outside of your comfort zone, it's challenging, it's difficult, and it takes time to adjust. I stayed in Halifax for 5 years. Then I moved to Kentville for 3 years. And then I moved to Ontario. We stayed there 10 years, and it got easier. It got easier as we went along. And now here we are back again to square one, where I started that. And so Abram, when he was called by God, he probably experienced a whole array of emotions about leaving his country, because he wasn't even told just to leave his country, but God said, leave your country, leave your people, and leave your father's household to go to a place where God would show you. It wasn't even like go to a place, it was go to a place where I will show you. Pack up and leave, and I'll tell you where to go when you're on the road. That wouldn't work well for me. I kind of want to know where I'm going before I start. And I think it's fascinating that God kind of gave these instructions to Abram in 3 distinct segments. It helps God to be sure that Abraham was crystal clear. He gave him 3 specific instructions. Leave your country, leave your people, and leave your father's household. There's something to be said about clarity when we go and do something new. I read a story this week of an employee who asked for a pay raise. Wasn't me, although the board still hasn't done our salary review for this year yet. But it's on the agenda because I make the agendas. But there's a story of an employee who asked for a pay raise, and he got this note back from his supervisor. It said, because of the predisposition for fluctuation in your position's productive capacity as juxtaposed to standard norms, it would be momentarily injudicious to advocate for your requested increment. And so the worker was puzzled, and he went to his supervisor, and he said, if this note is about my pay raise, I don't get it. And the supervisor said, you're exactly right. You don't get it. There's something to be said about clarity. And God was pretty clear with Abraham, with Abram at this point. He was still Abram. God was pretty clear. He said, leave your country, leave your people, and leave your father's household. And in return for this promise, he said, Abram, you are going to become a great nation. We know his offspring will become as numerous as the stars, and he would be blessed. He was to leave his country, but God would give him a new nation of his people. He was called to leave his people, but he would have people once again. It was just him and his wife, and he was going to be all alone. But God said, leave your people, and I will give you a new people. And God said, leave your father's house. This may be a little bit more difficult to understand in our culture, but he was called to leave the blessings of inheritance and family behind. But he would receive the blessings of his father God instead, and that would be used to bless the entire world around him. Everything that Abraham or Abram was called to give up for the sake of God would be restored to him in a different way, but in a complete and more fulfilled way. Because folks, in the grand scheme of our faith, God will never, ever be in debt to us. God will never, ever be in debt to you. No matter where he takes your story, no matter where you go unwillingly through the situations of life and the path that God takes you, or no matter where he calls you to and you're nervous, you're afraid, you're scared, but you go anyway, no matter what you give up, God will never be in debt to you. No matter if you give up prestige or career or pride, whatever it is you feel you have to sacrifice to follow God, whether it's getting your own way or living like the world around us or even family or friends, we will receive far more in return. Stated another way, God will give you and I the free will to write our story, but our story is far more fulfilling and complete when we write it with God in ways that we cannot even anticipate. And so this morning, before we hear the Brasado story, I have two questions for you. First is this, where are you? Where are you? Abram knew where he was. He was in Haran, and he knew where God wanted him to be, not in Haran, in a place further away from there. In Genesis 11, just at the very end, before we get to Genesis 12, we read about Abram's father, Terah, and his grandson, Lot, and his daughter-in-law, Sarai, and they all set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan, it says. But then when they came to Haran, they settled. They decided to settle down. A couple of years ago, my doctor told me that I was having severe abdominal pain because I had gallstones and a fatty liver, and I needed to change my diet and habits, or else I could enjoy having my gallbladder removed and then, you know, progressively deteriorating liver issues in my later years, 50s or 60s and beyond, which is a ways away. But I decided at that point that was something I didn't want to have, and so I was really on track with this new lifestyle thing. I don't think I ate a sweet for like 6 months. I'm serious. I don't think I touched a chip. I don't think I touched chocolate, cookies, cakes, squares. I ate salads and I ate nuts. I saw a naturopath. It was fantastic. And that was 2 years ago. I'm slipping a little bit. A little bit. I had to buy new clothes because I was in such great shape after that. I'm willing to wear those new clothes because they were expensive. So I settled in. I made such good progress and good strides ahead, but I settled in. And we can do this spiritually too. Sometimes we can settle with knowing enough of God to last us the rest of our life. Sometimes we can settle to coming to church faithfully on Sunday, but doing nothing else spiritually during the week. Sometimes we can settle in and focus on other aspects of life, careers and children, but we can just settle in. It's important to know where we are and where we may have settled, because the second question is this: where are you going? Abram was in Haran, and it wasn't a bad place, but it wasn't a place God wanted him to stay forever. And no matter where you are spiritually this morning, it doesn't have to be the end of your story. God is calling every single one of us to move forward and to continue writing our story of faith today in this moment, because our story of faith doesn't have to be about what God did in the time ago. It doesn't have to be about what God did when I got saved. It doesn't have to be about what God did in my life when I was filled with the Spirit. It doesn't have to be what God did. Your story can be about what God is doing right now, what God is doing in this moment. And so if our understanding of God has not changed in a while, if our sense of God moving in our heart has been dulled for a while, if we haven't been challenged in our hearts to give up some aspect of attitudes or habits to be more Christ-like, or if we have not pursued different ways of interacting with God or different spiritual disciplines in the past year, it might be time to consider that we're comfortable and maybe stuck. And it's my desire that here at Evangel, we would be a church that inspires movement in spiritual lives of all of us. That we would be people that once we come and get saved, that's not the end. Our story is just beginning. That's not the end of the story. That's just the beginning of the story. And so you will remember in January, our first priority of this year is to create disciples that continue to grow. And one of those ways that we are continuing to grow is through foundations. But there's lots of ways. If you can imagine, I have a puzzle map in my head. And you don't know all the puzzle pieces yet, because I haven't shared them with you yet. But God is going to create disciples here that continue to grow in their faith and then bring other people along and create disciples through their stories as well. Because God is moving now, right? God is the God of right now. He's not just the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Evangel Assembly in 2018 right now, and he is moving, and he is speaking, and he is acting right now. And so our story is still being written, and there's parts of it that you can jump in on as well. And so we're going to hear a story this morning from the Bersados. I'm going to invite Stephanie and Mario Bersado to join me here on the platform. And they're going to, I'm going to chat with them. And then, yeah, go ahead. And I'm going to ask them to tell us a little bit about the journey. You can come on up and have a seat in these comfortable chairs. They are really comfortable. If you've never had an opportunity to sit in them, I can interview you next. Right? There you go. You can clip that to your sweater so we can hear what you have to say. And I'm really sorry, Mario, Linda took your microphone. So I'm going to have to move it back. And I don't have time to run it nicely, so I'm just going to drag the cord across like that. Excellent. So this is Stephanie and Mario Bersado. And together they are planting a church in Clare, a PAOC church plant. And Stephanie is taking the lead on that church. And your journey, Stephanie, to this church plant and to this pastoral role is not the typical journey at all. And so you're going to share a little bit about that with us. But I want to start with you, perhaps. And can you just tell us a little bit about where you grew up, how you came to faith in Christ? And Mario, the same question for you when she is done, so you can be thinking, okay?
So I'm from Northern Ontario. We grew up in, is that in a good spot? Maybe that's better.
Is that better, Heidi? Can you put it higher?
Higher. So I grew up in Sudbury, Ontario. So that's Northern Ontario. And my parents went to a Presbyterian church. Sorry. And when I was, I don't know, maybe 10 or 11, I was at something. And you know, they said, do you want to know Jesus? Do you want to go to heaven, not go to hell? And I raised my hand. And I have to say, I didn't understand what it meant. And so from that point onward, I thought that I knew Jesus. And every time that I did something wrong, I was like, okay, God, like, I don't want to fail this test. I don't want to, any number of things. And so a lot of my life was kind of characterized by earning people's love and earning my worth and just being good enough. And so a lot of, like, I really felt like I was quite worthless on my own, and so I did things. I was kind to people, not from, oh, that sounds so terrible, but I really needed to earn, and if I cared for you, then you would like me, and I wasn't worth being liked on my own. And so part of that came out in my career choice. I became a doctor, and there was lots of people I got to care for, and people innately, my thought was that, you know what, my brain is okay, and I can figure out how to do the medicine stuff and whatever, but more than that, people need to be cared for. They genuinely need to be loved, and so that's how I kind of went about things. And when I was in my 30s, one day I asked Mario, I said, do you think I'm going to go to heaven? He's like, oh, yeah, like, you're going to go. But I knew that there was this whole thing of, like, I was doing all this stuff, and I was talking to God, but I knew what was going on in my heart and in my mind, and I was like, this isn't evening out. My good isn't anywhere near what the bad is. And so we went to this Bible study. It was my parents' church. We were attending a Roman Catholic church at this point, and it was a purpose-driven life one, and there was a night. It was like in the middle, end of January. It was about minus 30 or 40 with the wind chill. We were driving home, my parents' church, we'd have supper with them, go to this study on a Sunday night, and it was a Presbyterian church, and so we're driving home, it was so cold. cold. We were on LaSalle Boulevard in front of the beer store at a stoplight, and we had this conversation. I'm like, I didn't know that Jesus died on the cross for me. Did you know that? And I'm like, I want that. And there's just this really awesome moment in the car, and we decided we wanted Jesus. And everything changed, like, for me, it changed, like, immediately, and that was me coming to know Jesus. We continued to go to the Catholic Church, actually, because we knew that we were going to try to bloom where we were planted. We couldn't figure out how to serve. And a few weeks later when I was there, I was kneeling and I was praying. And I'm like, God, you know what? Whatever you want me to do, like, I just want to do that. I want to do what you want me to do. And I heard him say, I want you to feed my sheep. And I didn't know the Bible. I had read it, but didn't really know it. And I was like, you want me to feed your sheep? Okay, we're starting a food bank. And God is so gracious. And so we started this food bank at the medical clinic. And it was really cool because we were in this little wee community. And we got to, like, love these people and share the gospel and meet their needs. And it was awesome. We did that for about 6 or 7 years. And then God said that to me again, and it was pretty cool.
Excellent. Yeah. Thank you. So you are a medical doctor.
I am a medical
doctor. And you're planting a church in Clare.
Yeah.
And you grew up in Ontario.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fascinating how God can take our stories and take where we are and direct us and guide us sometimes. It's fascinating. Mario, maybe you can jump in. You can share a little bit about how you first came to faith. I know Stephanie might have stole a little bit about that conversation in the car. But you can fill in some of the gaps, maybe, and just tell us how you came to your personal confession of faith.
So, I've always believed in God. My parents are Roman Catholic, and my mom did a good job telling me about God and creation, and I attended the church every Sunday, mostly because I had to when I was younger. And then I continued on going to church as I got older. I didn't really get grace, and I kind of thought I was a pretty good person, and that's why I was going to heaven. And it's embarrassing to say, but at the time in my late teens and early 20s, I kind of thought I was better than people that didn't go to church, because I didn't get grace, and I didn't really think of myself as a sinner, because a lie here and there didn't really seem to be a big deal. Compared to what other people did, you know. So I had that kind of mindset for a while, which is awful, but that's where I was at. And fast forward many years, my wife's office manager, I guess we went to the Presbyterian Church. We did the Bible study with Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life, like Stephanie said. And it was about 5 weeks into the six-week study. And we kind of, on the way home, had a discussion, and it was really at this traffic light in front of the beer store. It was red, and it's a really long light, and we kind of talked there for a minute or two, and realized that night what grace was, and that, Jesus died on the cross for our sins as well, and that we couldn't really do anything on our own to go to heaven. We were going to a Catholic church for a bit, because I could not go to another church because my parents would probably kill me. Stephanie's office manager, who's a really nice lady, invited Stephanie probably 1,000 times to the Pentecostal church. And then finally, she asked me about it, and we went. And we really felt at home and enjoyed it. And after that, we felt at home there, and we stayed there for a long time, yeah.
Excellent. And that was the Pentecostal Church, PAOC, in Espanola, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so their lead pastor was a colleague of mine when I was in Ontario, Blair Phibbs. He was a youth director in the zone where I was a youth pastor. And so I got to know Blair Phibbs. And so I called him and said, I'm talking with this couple, the Brasados. Tell me about them, Blair. He told me all great things. So, Stephanie, maybe tell us a little bit about how you went from, you got saved, you're a medical doctor, you feel this burden, this passion to reach out, and you started a food clinic, a food bank. You were attending the church in Espanola in northern Ontario. Espanola is northern Ontario, too. It gets cold there. So, So how did you go from there to coming down to Clare? Because as we all know, being from here, people generally don't come here. People are usually from here. So how did you get to be a person living in Northern Ontario and come to plant a church in Clare? Tell us how the God worked that out in your heart.
So we were serving at the church in Espanola, and we'd started the food bank, and I felt like God was calling me to do ministry. And so I started taking some courses online through Masters College and Seminary, and so I was just kind of doing that, and I felt like God spoke to me again, and He said, "Stephanie, like, do you love me?" And I said, like, of course, Jesus, like, I love you. And He said, feed my sheep. And I realized that I felt like He was calling me into ministry. And so I went home, and Mario and I had this conversation. And so I had 2,500 patients. I had a really big practice. I was doing a lot of things besides medicine, with the medical school and the nursing home and food bank and all these different things. And so we had a large circle of influence. And so we just had this conversation, well, is God calling you into ministry? What's that look like? And so we spent about 2 years praying and fasting. And a lot of the time my prayer was, okay, God, like, I want to do whatever you want me to do. I want this to be just about you. And if it's medicine, then you know what? Then take this desire to go into ministry away, or cultivate my heart right. And if it's ministry, then you know what? Make it so I don't want to do medicine anymore. I need you to open doors and close doors. And that was Mario's and my prayer. And I would pray this daily, like several times a day, because it's a pretty anxious place to think that God's calling you out of something that you know quite well. And I'd been a doctor probably for, I don't know, 10 or 11 years. And so, like, I knew what I was doing, and to some extent anyway. And so, God worked in both of us, and we just felt like He was kind of definitely calling me into ministry. And so then we were like, is that full-time ministry? What is it? And in this time, Mario had his own business, and he was teaching solar and designing and installing solar, and we came out here. He's teaching in Dartmouth at NSCC, and while we were there, I felt like, again, God was saying, well, I'm calling you to the Maritimes. And so Mario, how awesome is my husband, eh? He's awesome. And so anyway, I'm like, I think He's calling us to Nova Scotia. And Mario's like, really? And so our next two or three holidays were to Nova Scotia. And so that we would drive, and we would pray, and we would just try to figure it out. And we felt like God was calling us to Southwest Nova Scotia. And so we started a conversation with the district here we met with Jim and Kevin, like, I don't even know, it was 5 or 6 years ago now, and we had lunch at the Chinese food place in Truro, and they were so gracious to us, because at that time, like, we didn't really know anything except that God, we felt God was calling us here, and we didn't know when, we didn't know what, we just felt that. And so we kind of continued to just pray, God, we just trust you to direct our steps, to direct our path, to cultivate our heart. We just want this to glorify you. And we just surrendered ourselves, like, moment by moment. Like, I remember, and it's still part of, like, surrendering myself and my life to God, like, so many times a day. That's kind of part of, like, Mario and I just, we want to glorify God. Like, even being up here, I'm thinking, like, you know, this story sounds like it's a big deal, but really it's kind of a big deal to us, but it's all about God and His faithfulness and Him. I'm always amazed that He would just use us and that He continues to use us. Anyway, so we kept praying, and we owned this building in this little wee logging town where there was a truck stop, and the price of real estate was, you know, it was pretty... Like, houses were for sale for a long time, and Mario had bought this building that used to be a tavern, and he did renovations and made it into a doctor's office where the food bank and his office was. And so we're like, okay, God, like, if you're calling us, like, we need to be able to sell this building. And so we'd had this conversation, and this pharmacist called us, and he's like, yeah, I was just wondering about something. And I'm like, yeah, we're thinking of selling the clinic. He's like, I'm gonna buy it. Like, okay. We're like, okay, that's awesome. But we're like, okay. And so it sold for everything we put into it, which was, like I said, unheard of. And then, you know, Mario had a bunch of employees, and we his employees started to get other jobs. One got accepted to the police force, and all these things happened. So God started to, he started to kind of close doors. And we realized by that time I had closed my practice. I was doing ministry about three-quarter time and a quarter time of medicine. So I was bivocational. And we realized he was kind of directing our steps again. And so we put our house up for sale. And like our house wasn't... it wasn't like the most amazing house in the world, but we had built it. It was in the bush, and we thought we were going to live there till we died, basically. It was on a small lake, and like we started with the quad trail, and we cleared the trees. We did all of it, and so we got married there. So we put our house up for sale, and our house sold. And so we're like, okay, we're moving to Nova Scotia. And so that was a hard decision too, right? Mario's parents were in their 80s. His older brother had died a few years earlier. My dad had died a few years. Like, we had a really tight group of friends, and we had family that we really love. And but we're like, okay, God, if this is where you're directing us, then we're going to do this. And so we moved out here 3.5 years ago, and we did ministry in a couple of places, and God continued to draw us to him. We worked near Lochiel. We planted a church in Port Hawkesbury. And then as we continued to do that, we just felt God was calling us to Clare, to the county of Digby, which is kind of where our heart was kind of from the beginning. And, you know, we're like, okay, God, like, so what is it? Where is it you want us to go? What do you want us to do? And so we really felt it was the Acadian community that we were called to, and the region between Digby and Yarmouth. And we realized that you guys, that's part of where you're at, but it's such a different culture in that area. And we're like, okay, but we're from away and we're English. Like, how is this going to work? We're like, God, like, it just has to be you. And so, you know, we were like, how do you want us to do this? What do you want it to look like? And so that's kind of, we felt God drawing us to the people of Clare. We felt that the Holy Spirit alone is the only one, as we all know, who breaks chains and redeems lives. He's the only one who redeems families and marriages. He's the only one who turns lives around. He's the only one who changes it all, right? And so we just feel that region is desperate for him. We know that it's a region that has a lot of Roman Catholic background, but you know what? Everywhere we go, people are desperate for an encounter with Christ, whether they know him and they need that ongoing encounter or whether they need the first encounter. And as we were there, we're like, God, are you calling us to plant a church? And we felt like he was, and that we were called to, you know, to do something where every single obstacle that we could remove from people encountering Christ was removed. And so one of the things about what we're doing in Clare is that it almost never looks the same for 2 weeks in a row, because we're willing to do whatever it takes, and we're willing for God to do whatever he will do with us so that people can encounter Christ. Because we just believe that, as you all do, that people are desperate for Jesus, and we will do whatever he would have us do to allow that encounter to happen. And we're so thankful that he uses us.
Excellent. So you're planting a church called Église du Phare, or Lighthouse Church. And it's a bilingual church plant, so that in the community, the French Acadian language is preserved in the way that you minister to the people as well. Mm-hmm. And it's a very small church plant. When Stephanie and Mario and I talk about it, it's very fledgling. It's at the very beginning, which is exciting and frustrating at the same time, I'm sure, because there's so much flexibility with what you can do, and there's so many needs. Everyone that comes in is a brand new, just starting a journey, and so that's exciting, but there's also struggles with that as well. So maybe if you could share with us, something about successes. You know, some of the greatest successes, or a story that's been most inspiring, and maybe some of the challenges or difficulties, or maybe a story about a challenge that you're facing right now in that church plant.
We actually have two of the gentlemen who've been attending pretty right from the beginning. And one of them, actually, there were some Saturday nights where it was Mario, me, and Raymond, or Mario, me, Raymond, and Neil. So there's four of us. And sometimes Mario's traveling, so sometimes it's been just me and Raymond, or me and Raymond and Neil. And that's really good for focusing on Jesus. Like, it's really good because you're like, you feel like you're pretending, except it's almost a prophetic word because we're going to do our best because it's for God. We're doing it unto Him, but we're also going to do our best because at some point, what we're doing now is sowing into the kingdom of God, and it is going to, this place is going to be full. We're going to be upstairs, downstairs. The whole place is going to be like rocking it out. And so that's kind of really exciting. So that's been kind of a little bit of our journey. So a really neat success. You know what? We've tried a couple of different things in the community to just love the community and reach the community. And one of them is our open mic night. And so we've had two already. We have one coming up this Thursday. And so it's kind of like a jam session. And it's not Christian music, it's music. We want people to come. We want to love them because it's God's kindness that leads to repentance. And so we want to be kind to them. We want to love them. We're going to share the equipment that we have and the space that we have and our personnel with them. And we just want to have a really good night together. And so last time that we did it, we had 45 people out, and it was beautiful. The ukuleles came out, and it was awesome music. And a lot of people are going to come back. And so we find that people have been so kind to us, and that we're just getting these really great opportunities to make relationship with people, and that we just feel that it's definitely the favor of God and us choosing to remain in His presence, and that people are drawn to that. And so we're getting lunch dates and supper dates, and we have all sorts of people coming over for supper. And we rarely have dinner with Christians. We have a lot of different people that are coming in our home and in different places, and we're so excited by it and intimidated and scared and discouraged and all that kind of stuff, but it's really cool.
Yeah, that's exciting. So you're creating opportunities for community to gather together in ways that they may not be gathering. And in that gathering, they're getting to know you guys, and they're getting to know God through you, and the Holy Spirit can speak to them through what He ministers to you in. That's fascinating. So what are some difficulties? What are some struggles you might be facing right now in your church plant?
We're a little bit challenged for a couple of things, I guess. One in particular is we don't have anybody doing any kids ministry with us, and so we're a little limited in terms of we're just ministering to adults, and so there's no place for kids. That's a place that we're continuing to pray about and trying to figure out how that's going to work out. And we kind of have, like, so where we had three or four people coming, now we had, I think we had 13 last night. That's a top number for us so far.
That's like triple, you know what?
I know, we went up by 300%.
Isn't that fascinating? I mean, to triple Evangel Assembly, we'd have to pack the place out. So they just tripled their church last night. Isn't that fantastic?
400% from where we were.
400% from where they were. Isn't that fantastic?
Sounds a lot better than the reality of it. But but you know what? Sometimes just the fact that there's not lots of cars in the parking lot, and so that's a little bit of an issue, right? Is that we don't have lots of people there, so people are drawn to people. And so as there's more vehicles that come, we're at the Legion in Saunierville, or the Clare Veterans Center, as more people come, more people will come, because we're on this big LED sign, and people are talking about, we'll go places and they'll be like, oh, I heard about you. I want to come check it out. But we recognize that one of the thing is that there's not enough people there for people to want to come yet. And so that's a little bit of there's a tipping point that's going to happen, and it's going to continue to move.
Like, my wife and I would park on the side of the building so that it was a quick access to the basement to carry all the gear in. And a couple of times Raymond was Raymond came to church, he attended the church. He said he saw a bulletin or a flyer, and he came to church, and we were like,
I don't know why we were really surprised, but we were surprised that somebody came. And you know, and the second service we had, it was our service starts at 6:30 and nobody was there. And Stephanie and I started playing like music. We were all set up and we played a first song, and then we started the second song, and we were kind of looking at each other playing, and Steph, I think between the first and second song, Steph's like, you know, like we'll do the service anyways, and you know, it sounds kind of, but it was like, we're going to do it for God, right? And we're here, and we might as well, we set everything up, and we might as well do it. It's good practice. And Raymond came in late. Raymond came in, you know, in between the second and third song or something, and Steph and I looked at each other, and like, he came back, you know? And
so you're a real church. You have people that come in between the second and third song.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then,
look at
and
that.
And then Neil started coming, and like Steph said, it was just, you know, the four of us for many Sundays, and then another lady, Saturday, and another lady started coming. And the last few weeks, it's been, you know, 8, 10, 12 people, which is pretty amazing. So only Raymond's car was at the front and Neil's, and it's like we wanted to stop people and say, could you just park your vehicles here, you know? And
free parking for the night. Just wherever you're going, park here.
Yeah.
No, that's fantastic. So some of the challenges, obviously, are reaching out to families because children are entertained and engage God in different ways than adults do. And I think that's a universal concern for churches. That's something we're working on here at Evangel Assembly as well, refreshing our Sunday children's ministry so we can better respond to the needs of families. And so, you know, that's a challenge for everyone, I think. And people, you know, it sounds, well, you've got 400% growth, though, so you're... You're probably best in the district, eh, Jim? 400%? I don't know any other church is going to match that.
We need a drummer.
Yes, so do we. We need another one. No, Shannon knows. No, Shannon knows because we don't want to burn him out, you know? And remember, when I was preaching, you got to listen. Remember when I was preaching, I said Heidi and Shannon deserve a weekend away, but we still deserve drums. So we could use a drummer as well. So we have some mutual things to pray about, right? Yeah. And so you're still practicing medicine part-time at Digby General Hospital and planting the church as well. And Mario, you travel with your teaching and your educational business but God has knit things together so that you two can live on the French shore of southwestern Nova Scotia and plant a church there. Having not been born there, not raised there, and God is opening doors. That is fascinating. And so if you were not at our annual business meeting, or if you maybe missed last Sunday morning, you missed me talk a little bit about what Evangel was going to be doing to help with this church plant. Because as a brand new entity, there's a lot of things that you can't do. There's a lot of things you can do, which is exciting, but functioning as a registered charity is one of the things that they cannot do as a brand new entity. And so that limits them in the ability to collect funds and disperse funds and receipt people for their donations and that sort of thing. And so in the fall, the district and I and our board started a conversation about how we could come alongside Église du Phare and assist them with some of these needs. And so Evangel Assembly, we've hammered out all the details, and we are ready to move forward with a partnership where Evangel Assembly will extend our charitable governance over to Église du Phare, and we will provide some financial oversight. We will provide the ability for Stephanie and Mario to function as a charity, and we will provide the ability for them to access district church planting funds, because in Canadian charitable law, church planting funds or any charitable funds can only go to another registered charity or qualified donee. And as a group functioning on their own, they're doing great work, but unfortunately the district couldn't just forward them some funds. And so this partnership will allow them to access those funds and to be in a better place financially. It will extend some governance and some policies and some accountability to them. And then when we were having lunch in Tim Hortons in Metagen, I think that one of the coolest things, it'll just extend to the two of you the fact that you're not alone. You're not all by yourself planting a church in where, you know, many of your family probably don't know where you are. You're not alone. You have the prayers of us. We know who you are. We know where you are, and we can We can pray along with you. So at this point in time, you know, Eglise du Phare doesn't require people or finances from Evangel Assembly, but we can, you know, if you have it on your heart that you want to support Stephanie and Mario and Eglise du Phare, that is certainly within your own right to do as well. And because you hold services on Saturday evenings, anyone could pop in and be part of the gathering on a Saturday evening in Clare, which is fascinating. And it also frees the two of you up to join us here at Evangel from time to time to bring updates on the ministry and to feel connected with a church family where you can receive as well as you're pouring out in Clare. So that is what we're doing. It's an exciting partnership. It's on a one-year renewable memorandum. And that's why Jim is here this morning, to make sure we do things properly. He's our representative of the district. And so I'm going to call, ask our board of deacons to come on up, and Stephanie and Mario will come down here. We're going to lay hands on them, and we're going to pray for them. And we're just going to pray that God will bless the ministry that they are doing. God will bless the church that is just fledgling. The fact that they've reached double digits in souls that are seeking and in souls whose hearts are starting that journey is fantastic. And so, yes, the board members, if you could come on up, we're going to gather around them. We're going to pray for them. And then after our gathering this morning, we'll sign the document and make it official. And we will continue to bring updates to you as well. The understanding in our memorandum is that we will provide governance and oversight in areas of charity and finances and allow you to function as a charity. Ministry methodology will remain in the hands of Stephanie and Mario, because they live there in Clare. They know the needs of Clare, and they know what is working for them. And so we're going to come alongside and love them and support them and let them know there's people standing with them, because it can be lonely, it can be difficult sometimes in ministry period or planting a church as well. So Jim, did you have anything you wanted to share on behalf of the district for Evangel Assembly?
I want to say thank you for your willingness to partner with this crazy couple. They've done some great things so far in the district, and it's amazing how God would take people from Ontario even and bring you to our district to help us. Really appreciate that, and thank you for bringing Pastor Nathan back. That was a great decision. Yeah, I was so excited to hear when I found out who you were inviting to preach the call. We were so grateful to have Nathan and Mandy back in our district. So I just want to say thank you to your church and your board for partnering with this plant. And if there's one thing you could really do for this plant is pray. If you could just put in whatever way that you keep a track of the things that you pray for in a notebook, if you could just pray for Stephanie and Mario and that plant, if you could just do that, God will have His way in that town, and people will come to Christ. And we just really appreciate that. And thank you, board and pastor, for making this possible, and for being a support, and for being in relationship with this couple. God bless you.
Excellent. So I'll get our board members to come around. We'll lay hands on them and ask our board secretary, Bud, if he would pray over them and the church plant that's going on in Clare right now.
Father, we just thank you today that you are alive, that you are moving, that you are touching lives, that you are speaking to people even now in Clare, that you're drawing them by your Holy Spirit to bring them to that place where they must make a choice. Will they serve you or serve the world? We thank you for this couple. We thank you, Lord, that they have listened to your voice. We ask that you would just be with them, that you would anoint them, that you would speak to their hearts, that when the going gets tough, that the tough will get going, that you'll be with them, that you'll lead them, that you'll guide them, that you'll strengthen them, that you'll encourage them, that you'll give them wisdom, that, Lord, that every decision that they make, that will be honored by you, and that you will just touch that, that, Lord, that you will reward them with many souls, that they will see their little church blossom and grow, and become what you would want it to become, and that area will know that you are alive, that you are still working on hearts, that you are changing lives, that the blood of Jesus Christ still washes, still cleanses, still restores. We just thank you, Lord, for this couple. We thank you for their dedication to you. We ask that you would bless them, that you would honor them, that you would give them, that you'd meet every single need, and that, Lord, that you would give them a mighty harvest. We just thank you again, and we just ask, Lord, that as we partner with them, that you would help us to be wise, to give them great counsel, to help them, and that, Lord, that you would be with the district as they oversee, that you would just use them in a mighty way, that you would help them to be wise and to give great counsel, and that together we will see a harvest of souls for the kingdom of God. We ask it in that precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. I'm just going to pray, and we can be dismissed in just a moment. If you'd like to come on up and chat with Stephanie and Mario, they will make themselves available, I am sure, to just chat about their ministry. And right following the service as well, Jim would like to meet with our board very quickly just to extend some thanks. And we do have to put a signature on a piece of paper today, so if the board could hang around a little bit as well. But let me pray and dismiss you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that you are good, Lord God. And I just pray that you continue to inspire us, that our story is not done because you are still writing stories. So I just pray that you challenge us to move forward in what you have for us as well. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.